Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills in the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I'm excited. I hope you guys had a fantastic Christmas. I went and saw some family in Vancouver in Canada, and it was awesome. And I just hope that you guys had some opportunity to unwind. Sometimes I take this show off, but I really like the idea of, looking ahead to the new year. I like to do a global reading, which I'm going to do. And I had set up this show as we were going to talk about creating our spiritual compass, which we will, but from maybe a slightly bigger view, because I just last minute, I decided to invite my friend and colleague and just general awesome lady that I know here. She's a local Boisean, Suzanne Michelle, on the program today and be kind of like my guest co-host, because we have been having some really amazing conversations lately all about potential and consciousness shifting and system busting. And we both feel that going into 2016, it's a big, big year. So I thought, why not, instead of just having me natter on for an hour, why not invite somebody on and have a fantastic conversation? What I do want to say is last week, I had a really big spark, but she kind of just turned it into a big fire. If you did not check out my show 2 weeks ago with Barbara Marks Hubbard, you really, really should. It's just a great conversation about our potential and possibility, which we're going to carry on today. And then next week, I have Don Miguel Ruiz coming on. We're going to be talking about his latest book, The Toltec Art of Living and Dying, I believe, and I'm really excited to have him on. So we just are doing some good things here. But let me get to my guest co-host today. Suzanne Michelle is an intuition coach, and like I said, she is just a local Boisean here who's really brought community together. I met her through this community Facebook group that was all about being awake and alive, and it's been fantastic getting to know her. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome my special guest co-host on today, Suzanne Michelle. How you doing, Suzanne?
Good morning.
I'm excited last minute because, often I will do this show by myself, this one at the end of the year, and the conversations we've been having lately about potential and possibility and, what needs to happen. You talk about this idea of choice point, and I feel, we've been at a choice point for some time now, just kind of waiting. So when you think about where we're headed, 2016, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's funny because the other night when we were chatting, normally I'm in bed by like 9:30, and I think we were talking till what, like 11?
Yes.
Over at your house. And then I came home and I thought, oh my gosh, it's 11:30. It's a couple hours past my bedtime. That must have been a really stimulating conversation, which it was. And, in that moment, I was reminded of the culmination of the past, gosh, it feels like the past decade, and all the people that I've met as we've been awakening our consciousness and coming into this new year, which is 2016, right around the corner, right? And when I think about this year, I think about culmination and what's led up to this point in time, the cycles, the upward cycle of patterning and what we've been growing from and what we've been letting go of. And I think about the 2016, I'm not really into numerology. I'm not an expert, but I have always been fascinated by numbers. And if you add up the 2 and the 1 and the 6, you're going to get 9. If you break it down to a single digit, right? So nine, what is nine? And what I feel into my body, because I don't know exactly, nine feels like, when I think about fourth grade, okay, I'm going to go back to fourth grade for a minute. Okay. Hold on. So fourth grade, I remember I was in a, what is it called when you have a student, teacher, parent conference, but it's like an open house?
Yes.
What is that? Like a...
like a parent conference night or something.
Yeah. And it was in fourth grade. And I remember I was talking to my friend, Dean Diomedes, and he was one of my best friends in fourth grade. And his dad came over and said, what are you guys looking at? And we were looking at the multiplication table. And we were so excited because we noticed that anytime you multiply nines with another number, it always ends up whatever combination, like, for example, 9 times 2 is 18. Well, if you break down 8 plus 1, it's going to equal 9. If you multiply 9 times 9, it's going to be 81. 8 plus 1 is 9. And so we learned that, I mean, this is like plain as day for me, that everything, when you did multiplication, it would end up adding up. If you took those two numbers, it would add up to 9. So it's almost like 9 is such a significant number because it's it holds all the numbers. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's, to me, it feels like this culmination, like 2016 is going to hold everything, the ands and the both of everything that has been before us and that will be in front of us. So it's almost like this nexus point of beginnings, endings, all in one. Like I get this image of this cross fade of an old world. And then as the new world comes in, there's a cross fading of it coming in. And with that nexus point in the middle, that 2016, it's as if all worlds collide. That's how I feel about 2016.
That sounds big because that's not just, and, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of the vesica piscis, where the two circles overlap and you get that middle point there as, you know, one fades over the other. Mm. And as you're saying that, though, that doesn't always mean that this is all going to be sunshine and lollipops, though. You know, if it includes everything. And so as well as you're saying that, I'm seeing sort of the spiral dynamics where things both include but transcend. And there's been a lot of pain and suffering and breaking down of systems. And in that, a shaking up of our very core, because it brings up a lot of fear. And we, you know, we want to maintain status quo, because even though it might be crappy, at least we know what to expect. So as you're saying that, to me, it's like, it's just not all awesome and fantastic. There's going to be a lot of shifting. And I really think it's up to how we perceive, it's up to our desire, it's up to a lot of things, whether this is going to be a smooth transition or where this is going to be a huge shakeup. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm. So again, everything that has led up to this point, which is all the choice points we've made, every single choice point we have made, it's almost like, you know, what's that that phrase, you know, poop or get off the pot? I mean, we usually say something else, but I don't know if we can say that on the air. But, you know, poop or get off the pot. So it's like this culmination of these choice points of what are you going to do? It's not fear driven. It's not like, oh, if you don't, you know, it's not like this scarcity, like if you don't make a choice now, you know, it's forever. You're not going to have that opportunity. I don't really believe in that. And I also believe that there is severity in choice points. Mm-hmm. So both things are true. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And, you know, in a conversation with Barbara Marx Hubbard, she said, though, that those who wish to ascend or awaken or whatever term you like to use or move more into multidimensionality, I don't know if that's a word, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Or and those who want to stay very entrenched in this 3D world, they will, and that's just how it'll go. We can't force people to do that. And like you said, there isn't just one moment. It's like the universe is constantly saying to us, "Are you ready? What about now?
Yeah,
now." It's like we have many exits on that freeway we can take to do that. But I do think that it is coming up to a place where there's a lot of environmental challenges. There's a lot of stuff going on geopolitically. You're seeing the shakeup of basically every single system on this planet right now. And so we get to say, you know, I think the choice point isn't, you know, just ascend or stay here, but it's like, are we going to look at these challenges and work through them from a higher state of consciousness, or are we going to continue? Because I think, though, continuing the status quo, if we do that en masse, it's going to lead to nothing but just the slow deterioration and decline of every living organism. Is that harsh?
No, it's not harsh. It's like we're looking at this all-inclusive smorgasbord. Like, here we are, in, you know, 2015, January, what is it, 30th today? And, you know, we're going to be crossing over this kind of imaginary line of a new delineation of time, right? Which is then going into 2016. So here we have this absolutely colorful smorgasbord of options. We have social media, we have technology, we have medicine, we have all this energy resource. We have everything at our fingertips. And now it's like we're picking how are we gonna move medicine forward in a positive way? How are we gonna move technology forward in a positive way?
It makes me think of, you know, we go to the grocery store now and we see this whole spread of produce, but at the end of everything, if you whittle it all down, it's all consciousness. So we get to choose, where do we want to keep our consciousness? Where do we want to focus that? So we'll talk about that more. My world reading is coming up, and we're here with Suzanne Michelle. We'll be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Back here, and we are talking, we're visioning, we're talking about intentions, we're talking about where we're headed for 2016, and I have a special guest co-host today, intuition coach Suzanne Michelle, on the program. Suzanne, your website is revivewithenergy.com, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, you should check her out, and I want to just hit on that, actually, what I said right before the break about, you know, you're talking about the smorgasbord, I have a real hard time with that word, anyway, but, and then I was saying, like, it's like you go to the produce department, and if we went to the produce department, I don't know, 30 years ago or 50 years ago, it would have we would have had way less selection. But now, as we've kind of expanded and we're growing up, there's all of a sudden all of these options. And there's, like you said, medicine, technology, spirituality. There's all of these things. But really, to me, and I think, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, if we look under all of that, whether it's technology or medicine, or anything, that it's understanding fundamentally the primacy of consciousness. And once we understand that, that to me is how we blow ourselves out of the park. But until there, I still think that there's that opportunity to include and transcend or have those end and both conversations about medicine, about technology, and how we lift them up. But ultimately, I think where our potential lies is understanding us as our creative co-creative beings.
Yeah. And, you know, included in that smorgasbord are things like religion and, you know, again, I mentioned social media. There are these things that people want to get rid of. They think, well, let's just get rid of social media. Let's get rid of religion. Let's get rid of allopathic medicine, you know, or these things that have evolved to such a degree that now isn't the time to get rid of, but it's a time to really look at and bring consciousness, the highest level of consciousness, to those great attributions. So like religion, I don't feel that religion should be removed. I feel like religion should be all-inclusive to be able to respect and honor other religions, not instead of what we want to do in the old is say our religion is right and everybody needs to subscribe to our religion. That I feel is going away.
Yeah.
And it's going to take, but there's going to be this pop, there's going to be this fight for who's right, who's wrong. But then I feel like the expression of that, the beautiful expression of that, is that we're going to get so tired of fighting that we're going to go, let's just live and let live. And I feel like that's the future. We're going to go, let's not fight against modern medicine. Let's use the most beautiful pieces and parts of it and integrate it with complementary medicine, energetic medicine. So there's going to be this fight, who's right, who's wrong, in order for that big bang, that creation of all inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, moving from an all or none conversation to a both end. And
yeah.
That's the thing is, and that's, so I wanted to move here to every year at this time, I do kind of a global reading. And it's not so much like, let's, you know, the first half of the year, there's going to be conflict following by, you know, a moment. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. So I just kind of do, you know, what is our global kind of goal or purpose for this year? And of course, this is just my ideas. And there's going to be other people who have other insights. And again, just like what you were saying, that it can be integrated. It's not just like me just saying, this is the definitive global vision for 2016. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, this is my little piece. And so I do a mix of connecting with my guides and reading cards and kind of just sitting. I am very clairsentient, so I sit with stuff and claircognizant, so I just kind of get some downloads sometimes. So it was really, the overarching thing was healing within so we can heal without. And the major issue was, or not, the thing was healing the planet. And this isn't just like in one year, all of a sudden, everything's going to be fantastic. But it was like you were saying, those two worlds kind of crossing. And it's about cultivating the attitudes and actions that lead to this healing. So it's aligning ourselves with this intention of healing the planet. And then there was several things kind of lined out for me on how we do that. And so many of the things we've already talked about, it's... And this is something that I want to talk about more. It's about spiritual leaders stepping up, but not from a place of it's my way, the highway, or rigid and dogmatic and saying, you know, this is it, but really as integrated as possible. And really in that integration, it's taking it from not just having these intellectual conversations, but how do we integrate this in our actions and stuff? Because this, the healing the planet is the attitudes and actions. So it's not just the mind, it's not just our thoughts about things, but it's really like, how do we do that? And there's a calling out there of people to step up. And again, listen to that interview a couple of weeks ago with Barbara Marx-Hubbert about we need people who are excited about our potential, people who are excited and passionate about the work that they do, to go out and do that work and step into a natural leadership position. Again, not from an ego place, not from a power over, but how does my own empowerment, how does my own excitement go out there and create that change? Because that excitement and that passion and that potential is going to do so much more than data or knowledge or fear, as far as shifting into this place, as far as that transitioning of those two worlds, and how the ease of that transitioning as well has so much to do with our sense of passion. And then I just want you to know that I have like loads and loads of information. So I'm working on a blog post. It's not quite done. So within the next day or two, I'm going to be putting it out with a more detailed vision of this. But then also, too, there was a lot of understanding our connectedness. And that's, you know, what Suzanne was just speaking about, is that it's a both-end conversation. It's understanding that our medicine and our technology and our religion and spirituality and our electronic communication, everything is so intimately connected. And as we really, really understand that, we heal within, we heal without. So, but ultimately what we're moving, the transition is from healing the planet to be able to ruling the planet in harmony. So the Green Man was the last card in my reading, and he is really about that integration. And there's still going to be this idea of kind of the humans as the dominant species, but do we have to dominate the planet? Can we also be leaders in this shift and find ways not to exploit and rape and harm and cause suffering, but really through that connectedness, can we work on shifting those attitudes, battling our inner demons, or those constructs that we've created of separation, to really create this harmony. So anyway, that was, I'd like to hear your thoughts, Suzanne Michelle. And I would like to just say too, that I will be doing a much longer version of this in a blog post that should be up, I don't know, in a couple of days. So I just gave you a mouthful there.
Yeah, no, I love the Green Man. The Green Man, it's almost like this, this energy of all of our hearts behind what we really want to bring forward. It's like he holds that, in that archetype, he holds that benevolent desire that we all have, which is peace, peace within ourselves, peace on earth. I know that there are people out there that don't desire peace on earth. I do wonder if at some level they really do. It's just that maybe they're in a lot of pain and they don't know how to move forward. So they only know how to move forward based on, you know, their belief systems or, you know, their culture or whatever it is that puts them into a place where they're making free will choices that are not for the better interest of all of humanity. And I want to bring that up, free will choice. Free will choice. What is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is free will? And I'm under the feeling that if I don't exercise my free will choice, that my choices will be taken away from me. So, like, an example would be if I don't make choices on a daily basis of what I'm eating, say, and I'm grabbing, say, candy and chips and soda pop or whatever, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to get really fat and obese and unhealthy. And then from the time that I started these bad choices, I used to say, walk in the foothills, or, you know, easily, tie my shoes. Whereas now I'm not going to have those choices because I'm going to have so much fat on my body that I can't bend down and tie my shoes. Or I'm going to be so lethargic that I'm not going to want to go take a walk in the foothills. So my choices will be taken away from me if I'm not acting from those initial free will choices. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like, there's such an opportunity for us to be mindful and where we place our consciousness on what free will choice we are making in any given moment. Because that, like right now, in this coming into this 2016, that poop or get off the pot, like, are our choice points going to be taken away from us because we haven't been making those conscious choices to create harmony in the world, peace in the world, peace within ourselves, peace within our own families, in our own homes? Will that choice be taken away from us? So that's where there's this real, I think, maturity that's happening, this real sense of responsibility, this kind of growing up stage that 2016 is asking of us, which is grow up. We're going to grow up. And if we don't grow up, then we're going to have to go back to diapers. And that's not really fun when you're an adult and you're in diapers, right?
No. So how does that, you know, because we were talking about that it isn't just one moment or there's, you know, the universe is constantly going to say, do you choose, do you choose? How do you reconcile what you just said with this idea that we do have the option to make other choices?
I would say on a what to do, like practical level, would be, let's go back to the last 9 years, which would be 2007. That was another big pivotal year. And perhaps maybe individually, everybody, including myself, you, Angela, anybody who's listening to this, can kind of create a timeline for themselves and look back at 2007 and start creating an inventory and write down what significant things, choice points, have been brought to our attention and how that is coming to 2016.
Well, I'm going to stop you there, but I think I really... I got things going on in my brain, so I want to pick that up when we return here on Integument Radio.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
guest co-host today. We have Suzanne Michelle, and you can find out more about her at revivewithenergy.com. She's an intuition coach and just a general ass kicker. And I want you to finish if there was more to, because I think that that's really important. But what I want to say really interestingly is that 2007, of course, we all know that was the beginning of, and year one, whether it's numerology or tarot, or that's the beginning, right? And now we're here 9 years later, and it's a nine cycle, and it is like kind of the culmination, of, like you said, of all of those years. So you were saying before the break about looking at this nine-year cycle and looking at some of the choice points you made. So I'll let you finish that.
Yeah, so in 2007, just taking, this was just a practical, you know, what can I do to look at what cycles have been patterning in my life since the last 9 year, which is 2007. And I'm trying to think in 2007, what I did in 2007, there was a home remodel. We did a home remodel. And what's interesting is this, in this coming year, not the same home, but a different home, I'm looking to sell. So isn't it interesting that in my own personal life, it's in the home is the cycle of completion that I'm looking at, whereas somebody else might have looked at 2007 and maybe, you know, they were in a cycle of health, or, you know, getting, losing weight, pounds of weight, on their body. And where are they now? You know, maybe what dramas were happening in 2007, what money issues, what thing was being celebrated, what was, so anything significant, you can kind of follow those dots, if you will, those breadcrumbs to where we are right now. And are we faced right now with that same big, significant choice point? So it's kind of fun for me to look back, because it's such a great way for us to kind of measure where we've come to where we are now. And I'm not so huge on, you know, looking at the past and dwelling in the past, but it is a great indicator if you can look at, say, 2008, 2009, 2007, 2008, going into 2006, 2007, 2008, kind of looking at those years, what was significant, what was coming to a head, and then look at that. That's a pretty good indicator of what 2016 is going to look like for you. And in doing that, in the practicality, is take an inventory and just do an inventory and do an inventory from 2007 up to this point of all those significant events.
Well, when you say that, so we moved to Boise in 2007. We bought a house at the top of the market. And of course, within several months, we had found ourselves underwater. I had a baby. I wrote a book. I started several radio shows. I have had a very huge amount of personal growth and development. But I would say my overarching, and this will lead us into our next conversation, but my overarching theme from 2007 till now is getting over my not enoughness. And so now I've felt like this last year, I've really done so much work on that, and I am ready to kick ass in 2016 and be unapologetically me. And that, going to the next part I wanted to talk about, is bringing this, we've talked about a lot of global stuff, but bringing this more personal, is that my intention for 2016 is leadership. And so, but if I look at that whole cycle and, you know, transcending and all of that stuff led me to this place. I couldn't even dream of having my intention of leadership in 2007. I was, you know, timid, and I had to do all of these self-development things and kind of grow myself from this really, my really small space to a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And now I'm ready for my big self to show up in 2016.
That's awesome. And I can see that. You know, we've connected so deeply in the last couple months, and I've even seen you pop, even in this short period of time, as I'm sure you've seen me pop. And it's like, oh, this is really cool to be the witness of that.
Well, thank you. So do you set yearly intentions or do you do it on an as-needed basis?
I am so undisciplined, I have to say. I play around. I fantasize a lot, but I don't really apply myself. And I feel like this feeling inside of me is, okay, stop fantasizing, stop dreaming. This is like application time. This is like, let's get this thing going on. And I have had things inside of me for probably the last 7 to 11 years that have been brewing. And it's all been about empowering choice points using intuition and bringing that intuition online. Everybody's intuitive. Every single person is intuitive. And I am so excited. Like, just my heart breaks open when I think about people using their innate sense, that subtle energy that is within each of us, bringing that forward. And so I feel this sense of just like beautiful humility. And also you talk about that like kind of kick-ass, you know, which is fun for me because it is, it's joyful, it's playful, it's kind of this fun, you know, kicking ass in the world in such a way that brings so much of that humble experience, wondering if I could ever bring this forward, you know, crying in my bed, you know, like all that stuff, bringing it to this point right now where it's like, yes, I can do it. Yes, I'm going to do it. And it's this taking that non-action, maybe not, actually I took action, but not fully taking action, not fully committing. And now I feel this sense of full commitment, full honor and service, and like, here I am. And like you said, no apologies.
And that's what, you know, when we say kicking ass, it's, again, it's not I'm kicking ass and that means that you need to be lower. This isn't a vertical scale. It's like I'm kicking ass and maybe you can see me doing that and you feel like kicking ass too. And if we have more ass kickers out there, then that's where it goes back to that exciting and potential. And when I think about that reading about people stepping in, it is that commitment saying, you know, here I am, and there's a certain amount of leadership. And it doesn't have to be from like an ego place that, yes, you know, I am better than you. And I feel it's just like, this is what I'm called to do. And you said service. And I think that that's such an important part of it. And, you know, when I think about that, all I want people to do is to share their gifts and to share what they're excited and passionate about. And that's being in service of another. So I think that that's just awesome. And we need more people who are willing to take action. And because I don't think we can't have people sitting on the sidelines anymore. And that doesn't mean you have to be going out and handing out petitions or going to rallies or whatever. It's just doing what you, figuring it out, what gets you excited in your life and doing it. And that's what I mean when I say we have to get off the bench. And it's not just, you know, we need to contribute to a larger cause like UNICEF or whatever. We need people who are engaged and inspired in their lives.
Yes. And that's where that metaphor of the smorgasbord comes up again. We all, as humans, all of us have this huge smorgasbord of options. Even if you're in a third world country, there is an option to how you're going to feel, how you want to feel. And that is part of the option. How do you want to feel? And this has not been something that we've actually, as humans, even thought about. Like, what do you mean? How do I want to feel? No, that's like, we've always looked at what are our core values? What is it that we stand for? But now we're asking ourselves, how do we want to feel? Like, do I really need the big hunkin' house, or do I want to feel a sense of coziness in, you know, maybe a 1,000 square foot house instead of a 5,000 square foot house? You know, those are the questions that we're asking ourselves, is how do I want to feel? And from that place, I will choose that option that is on that table, that full laid out smorgasbord, and choose. And I'm not going to look at the other person who's maybe choosing the option that I don't choose as wrong or bad. Okay? That stuff is going away. It's more, what are we focusing on that makes our heart light up, and stop focusing on what doesn't make our heart light up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. So I had promoted the show that we'd be talking about the spiritual compass, because you know me, as much as I like to be heart-centered and stuff, there is my left brain that just likes to give steps in very, in a very in linear fashion, I guess. And so that's one of the things, though, that I think when I work with clients that I do differently is I talk about experience and learning-related goals versus outcome goals. Because when we start to think, like, for example, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, what is the feeling? What is that losing that 10 pounds going to give you? There's something underneath that. There's that feeling or that learning potential that's underneath that's what we need to get at. Because when we start to connect with that goes along with the passion and purpose and all of that. That's when we start to get excited. It's not just the 10 pounds or the 3,000 square foot house. There's something about that we need to look at that's underneath it. So if it is the 3,000 square foot house, what is it about that house? And you might realize then that it's more of a status symbol than a feeling of contentment or fulfillment, that says something. And so then when we start to identify that these things are more extrinsic versus intrinsic, then we can really start bringing that in. And I think that's where that intuition piece and all of that is then we get to really identify and think, is that really the experience I want? And that's what I think we need to start looking at as we move into 2016. I want to talk more about this with you when we return, and a little bit more about the spiritual compass and what you do with your clients when a major life change or a new year comes upon us. So we'll talk about that more with guest host Suzanne Michelle when we return on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our 9th season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are back here. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque. My guest co-host today is Suzanne Michel, and you can find out more about her at revivewithenergy.com. And this is the segment where I like to bring it on home, and it's brought to you by Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. So, Suzanne, I was talking about the break, how, you know, when I was in school, because my background's in exercise physiology, we always talked about SMART goals. So they were very outcome-focused. And what I realized is that it moves people into that all or none place. So, okay, they want to lose 10 pounds in 2 months, and then they create these things, and then all of a sudden life happens and they don't follow through, and all of a sudden everything's fallen apart and they can't do it. But what I encourage people now when I work with people is set the intention, and it doesn't have to be for a whole year. It could be for the next 3 months. What is your intention? And then from that, we create experience or learning-based goals. So what is the experience? If you are in alignment with your intention, what is the experience that is giving you? So for example, maybe it's balance or whatever. Maybe you overeat too much. So your overarching intention is balance. So from that, what is the experience you want to have? And maybe that's self-trust. Maybe it's being able to learn that you don't have to move from extremes, that it has to be this always this either or all or none conversation. And maybe it's learning to trust ourselves through small things. And then from there, we filter down and go into the actual action steps. So maybe that's taking your lunch every day instead of eating out, and realizing though that if you can't take your lunch every day, maybe you've got a business meeting at lunch, can you still experience balance in your life in that moment? Can you still keep your in alignment with that intention, even if your action steps aren't available to you? So maybe it's having a salad at lunch, or, you know, maybe it's going for a walk after dinner or something. So it gives people a lot of flexibility and option if they can just remain in alignment with their intention. So how do you feel about like creating those outcome goals?
I love outcome goals because so long as they are presented with how do I want to feel? How do I want to feel? And what I hear you saying is that you remove the shame and the guilt
Yes.
from the equation. And it's not about being perfect. It's about how can I create an opportunity that it's not riddled with shame and guilt and either or, oh my gosh, I didn't bring my lunch, so I'm going to be damned. And oh, this whole diet is just, ugh, I'm throwing it away. You know, that's the old way, that either or. Now it's like, well, what if there is no shame and guilt involved? What can I do different? And coming from that place, it's a very loving place. And that's what I hear you saying.
Mm-hmm. It's because I think that as the more we understand ourselves, then we really, that's where self-trust comes, is when we know, okay, yeah, you know, the holidays are a really hard time for me. There's a lot of emotions involved. There's a lot of loss that maybe happened around the holidays. And so they're hard for me. So instead of just kind of soldiering our way through it, we really can be kind to ourselves and we really can show some compassion. And realize, and so as we do that, we realize that this isn't an all-year thing. It's just that this time is a little bit more vulnerable for me. And so is there ways that I can navigate this having that inner knowing versus, oh, no, I've been eating too much. And I think that's where resolutions come from, is that people, you know, they overeat, they drink more than they normally do, all of that. And then they think of, oh, no, crap, I've fallen off the wagon, everything's screwed, instead of there's an ebb and flow to life. And so it's just kind of how it is that you eat a little. I ate way more sweets in the last couple of weeks than I probably have eaten all year. And that's okay, because I've looked into that. I understand that it's not, I have this level of self-trust about myself and know that I'm not going to be eating sweets like that the rest of the year. So I think that it gives us the opportunity to learn about ourselves. But I also think, me being my linear brain, that there is value in having some outcome goals. But usually when I work with people creating the spiritual compass, that yes, like you said, it's a much more flexible and compassionate than just getting, because I find that people get very strict with themselves and then they feel like they've completely fallen off the wagon.
Yeah, that's so interesting because it seems as though anytime we want anything or we have a goal, we are setting ourselves up to be completely vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. So we are setting ourselves up to be in a vulnerable position where, interestingly enough, everything that I've learned as a little girl growing up into a 43-year-old woman, when I look back, when I was most vulnerable was also when shame and guilt entered into the system of, oh my gosh, I feel vulnerable. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be doing that. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, so it's interesting how that patterning, as I've worked through it, it's all come from this place, this foundation of when I'm moving forward into something I want, I'm in a very vulnerable place. And if I really track myself, when I'm making choice points, are they coming from a place of shame and guilt? And if so, that's going to be running the show. So if I can be conscious and intentional of, wow, am I coming from a place of I need to lose these 10 pounds because I feel shameful of my body, or, you know, I feel guilty that I had all that, you know, Christmas candy or chocolate, like, then it's really not going to come from a place of true vulnerability, but overcompensation. And then I'm going to be back in that same, you know, trying to lose 10 pounds next year or whatever it is. So I think really understanding that anytime we're stepping into something that we want, we're stepping into a very vulnerable place. And that is the time when self-love and self-care and tracking where our shame and guilt is imperative.
Yes. I think at the base of both of our approaches is that awareness and using our inner knowing. I'm going to say my neighbor made me some fudge, and it was flipping fantastic, and I enjoyed every little piece of it. People are always amazed, but they'll be like, oh, you ate French fries? I'm like, yes, and I enjoyed every one. I don't eat French fries very often, but when I do, I'm doing it because I really want to, not because I'm trying to stuff emotions or whatever. It's like, my neighbor made me some fudge, and it was fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I know that I don't eat fudge. I can't even remember the last time I had fudge. And at the same time, I can go into it and really enjoy that experience. So I'm not like shoving it in my mouth and, oh my God, I'm just like, oh, like just having it linger on in my tongue, and just with every sense I'm enjoying this fudge. And I think that's, if you're going to do it, you better enjoy the heck out of it but that's where the self-trust comes in too, is just knowing that, you know, just like when I went to Mexico and I had would swim up to the bar at noon and have a margarita. I know I don't do that all the time. So it's okay that our lives ebb and flow. But sometimes we have this idea that we have to be producers, or we have to act the same year round, and that anytime we deviate, but that's not it. We flow. There's this natural way that things move, and that's part of being part of a collective, but just our natural cycles. Even if we look as a woman, right, we have monthly cycles that shift and change, and just being able to recognize that and go with that. But I want to give us, because I have a program coming up, and I know you have a program coming up. So we like to walk our talk here. And so I have created a program called Inspired and Empowered. It's a 6-week program. It starts January 11th. And it's really about kind of what we're talking about. It's about getting excited about your lives. It's about connecting with your passion, with your purpose, helping you develop your intuition, removing energetic and mental blocks. And that starts January 11th. And you can learn more about that on my website at hestiahealth.com. And you can be anywhere. And there's group coaching. There's a lot of connection through working with the community and under recognizing your story and other people's stories. But I also want to give you the opportunity, because you have another fabulous program, which is 7 days, which I think maybe is the way to go. But because 6 weeks, sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, that's so much work. And you have to be really dedicated. But you have some programs coming up in February, and I want to give you a chance for you to share about those as well.
Well, great. Yeah, it sounds like my what I have to share, it holds hands with yours, in that once a person is tapped into their intuition, what do they do with these intuitive hits? And so what I've created, it's going to start on February 7th, and it is 7-day immersions on specifically what to do when you get an intuitive hit, like in your love and relationships or work and career or, you know, entrepreneurial endeavors. And so I'm going to take a person through a process that I actually go through as an intuition coach on when I get an intuitive hit, how it goes through my system. And it's like I'm going to teach a flow chart of what happens from that spark of inspiration to manifestation. And so that kind of holds hands with what you've got going on, Angela.
Huh. Yes. Well, that's why we get along so well. Well, we are almost out. I just think 2016, like you said, I just love that. I keep seeing this like vision of the two worlds crossing, and we get there's a lot of choice points for us. And I love the idea of really being deliberate and looking at the last 9 years or the last 8 years going into the ninth. And what is that theme? What themes and patterns have developed? And how is that going to culminate for you in this year? And I think that that's just fantastic. But I want to thank you so much for being on the program, Suzanne Michelle. Maybe we'll have you on again. And if you want to learn more about her, you can go to revivewithenergy.com. So thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, coming up next week, we have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program. He is just one of the most delightful and humble people I have ever met. I've had the blessing and honor of interviewing him before, so he will be on. And again, if you haven't listened to Barbara Marks Hubbard, the interview that happened on December 16th, you really should. It ties in very well with what we were talking about today. And yeah, this is Angela Levesque. Oh, yes. And if you want to check out my world reading, that should be up in the next couple of days. And you can find that at HestiaHealth.com. Well, this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.